And so, my brothers and sisters, I plead with you and I beg with you today, don't fall for the fake news. Now, how can you tell if something is fake? Now, I went to this and, you know, because I wanted to be in line. Now, they had about 8 things, but I took 4. How can you spot fake news? All right? Well, the first thing it says, be skeptical of the headlines.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the first half of Fake News. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Fake News.
The Gospel of Matthew chapter 28, and we'll begin reading in verse 11. And this is after Jesus rose from the dead. Now, when they were going, behold, some of the watch, and that would have been the soldiers that were guarding Jesus, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave much money unto the soldiers, saying, say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. As we come this morning, I want to speak to you about a term that is in our news, it seems like on a regular basis, a term that our current president has made famous, and that is the term fake news. That's the title of our message today, fake news. I got news this morning that everyone who came to church, if you take your bulletins with you, there's an address that you can send your bulletin to, and there's a man that's paying $1,000 for everybody that came to church this Easter Sunday morning. And you're going to say, well, Pastor, where did you hear that at? I read it on the internet. I heard it on the internet. Well, isn't that true? Because it's on the internet? No. We say there's fake news all around us. And the fake news that we are going to talk about today is the fact that the soldiers that were guarding the tomb of Jesus actually fell asleep. And so we'll talk about, you know, what that means and the reality of that. But that's fake news. And then we're going to talk about the disciples came and stole the body. That's fake news. And so we want to get to the bottom of the story this morning. We want to understand what the real deal is this morning. What is the definition of fake news? So I went and looked it up because, again, this is a phrase that's been made popular in the recent months. Fake news is a type of hoax or deliberate spread of misinformation or false information. Be it via the traditional print or broadcasting news, media, or via internet-based social media, to qualify as fake news, a story has to be written and published with the intent to mislead in order to gain financially or politically. And so because people back at that time didn't want to believe in the resurrection, the chief priests and the elders had a lot to lose if Jesus rose from the dead. And so what did they do? They began to put out this fake news. Instead of believing, and I pray to God that everybody here this morning, and if you're not by the end of this message, that you do believe that Jesus rose from the dead. But instead of believing that Jesus rose from the dead, what did they do? They put out fake news. Now, you know, they should have been like the guy, and he wasn't even a Christian. And he went to the Holy Land, him, his wife, and his mother-in-law. And while they were there, his mother-in-law died. And so he was trying to figure out what to do, so he began to talk to the funeral director, And the funeral director told him, he said, well, he said, we could bury your mother-in-law here for $400. But if we have to send her body back by plane, you know, it's going to cost $4,000. And so the man thought and thought, and he said to the funeral director, he said, well, I'll just go ahead and pay the $4,000. And the funeral director said, well, that's quite a significant more amount of money. You know, why would you want to do that instead of pay the $400? He said, well, I heard about a man 2,000 years ago that got buried over here, and I don't want to take the chance that that she going to... So here was this guy. He said, I don't want to take the chance that that's going to happen again. So he was willing to pay $4,000. Why? Because he believed in the resurrection. He, even though he wasn't a Christian, he believed in the resurrection. And so people do all kind of things to avoid believing in the resurrection. So if we look at this idea that fake news, look, and I broke this down into three areas, the nature of fake news, the vehicle of fake news, and the object of fake news. All right, so let's look at the nature of fake news. What is the nature of fake news? Is that it's a lie. It's not true. So when we look at the definition, fake news is a type of deliberate of hoax or deliberate spread of false information. All right, so what did they do? Matthew 28, they said what? To his disciples, say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. That's a lie. That's fake news. What's the vehicle of fake news? Communication. Some type of communication via traditional print, broadcasting news media, or via internet-based social media. So what did they say? They got it out on the news line, right? They said, we will put this on the wire. And if it comes to the governor's ears, we will verbally, we will get the word out there, and we will persuade them, and we will secure you, because we want to promote fake news. And what's the objective? The objective is some kind of gain, financial gain or political gain. A story has been written and published with the intent to mislead in order to gain financially or politically. So what did they do? They paid the soldiers the money, and as they were taught. And so, you know, now think about this. Not only did they have to pay the soldiers, because I'm going to show you something in a second, that these soldiers would have been killed for allowing the disciples to come and steal the body. So they not only paid the soldiers, but they had to pay the Roman officials also, because the Roman officials would have put the soldiers to death. And so they paid them not to kill the soldiers. And notice that it says, notice the last phrase there, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until today. Now think about this. Matthew, now think about fake news, right? Matthew wrote his gospel in around 50 AD. That would have been over 15 years after Christ was crucified. 15 years later, this fake news was still continuing to be broadcast throughout the land. And notice what it said. It was reported commonly among the Jews. That means that people believed it, that they believed the fake news. They swallowed the Kool-Aid. They went for the hype. And so, my brothers and sisters, I plead with you and I beg with you today, don't fall for the fake news. Now, how can you tell if something is fake? Now, I went to this and, you know, because I wanted to be in line. Now, they had about eight things, but I took four. How can you spot fake news? All right? Well, the first thing it says, be skeptical of the headline. So, what would have been the headline in the Jerusalem Post? Disciples steal the body of Jesus. Now, wait a minute. Aren't these the same guys that when Judas betrayed Christ, aren't these the same guys that ran? Aren't these the same guys that were all, except for one, and that was John, he hung back a little bit. Aren't these the same guys that demonstrated a cowardly spirit? So you're going to tell me that these individuals went against the Roman guard, which was literally a fighting machine, and whatever they protected, they wouldn't let anything get close to it. If anything came close to it, they would kill them. So they said, they fell asleep. Well, if they fell asleep, you know how much the stone weighed that they rolled in front of the tomb of Jesus? Over 2,000 pounds. Now, how can 11 men come and roll a 2,000-pound stone away into this, and these soldiers still be asleep? That sounds like some fake news to me. That sounds like fake news, all right? Well, let's investigate the source. What was the source? The Roman guard. Now, they were not even credible. Now, I'm going to show you this. Look at, I think I have this verse down here. I think it's in the book of Acts. Yeah, turn to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. In verse 19. Acts chapter 12, and this is when Peter miraculously escaped from jail. And look what it says in verse 19, that when Herod came to look for Peter, he thought he was in jail, and found him not. He examined the keepers, and look at this, and commanded that they should be put to death. The fact that these soldiers would be killed, they would literally be put to death for falling asleep on the job. And if Josh McDowell, he talks about different ways that they were killed. He said that sometimes that they fell asleep on the job, he said that they would burn them alive in a fire started with their own clothes. And on other occasions, what they would do, they would get those catapults, and they would catapult them off the side of a mountain. And so you're trying to tell me that these soldiers fell asleep the night that Jesus, you know, was in that grave? I think not. I think not. So you go back to the Roman soldiers. You know, they were not even credible witnesses, even in line in what they were supposed to be doing. The next thing, check the evidence. Check the evidence. Now, let me ask this question. If the disciples stole the body, Now, the resurrection is the capstone of Christianity. I mean, everything rises and falls on the resurrection. Without the resurrection, Paul said, I'm among all men most miserable. And this religion that we follow is a mistake. And so Christianity is rooted and grounded in the resurrection. Now, if it was me, now, I don't know, maybe y'all don't think the same way I do. But I would have went and got every last one of them disciples and said, we're going to torture you. We're going to keep you in jail until you show us a body. Why? There was no body to be found. The disciples did not take the body. And then you got to look at other reports. And we're going to look at those in a second. We're going to see that there was actually eyewitnesses. So my thing is, don't swallow the fake news. Don't buy the fake news. You say, well, Pastor, that's something that happened, you know, years ago. Back then, they was promoting that now. But let me share with you a couple things that happens today. All right? There's a theory that's going around today. Don't swallow the fake news. It's called the swoon theory. And what does the swoon theory? And you know what? And the sad thing is that there are preachers that are preaching this right here in this city. And I know because I've talked to them, and this is what they told me. There are seminaries right here in this city that are teaching this very theory right here, that Jesus was nailed to the cross. He suffered much pain, lost a great deal of blood, and passed out, as the critics say, and what? Swooned away. He swooned away. And when he was placed in the tomb, he was revived by the cool air, and he got up and rolled the stone away and said, I have risen from the dead. Now, you know, if that's the case, I would like to get the market on cool air, you know, and put it in a little bottle and sell it, because you can make a lot of money. You can make a whole lot of money. So there is the fake news, the swoon theory. The next thing that we see, the fake news, and this is the wrong tomb theory. And this, again, another theory that's promoted by theologians and scholars, because they don't want to believe the resurrection. At least one thing good I could say about the man who didn't want to bury his mother-in-law in Jerusalem is that he believed in the resurrection. He believed in the resurrection. So what does this theory say? All right, when the women came to the tomb of Jesus, they wondered who was going to roll the stone away. And when they arrived, to their surprise, this tomb was already open. And there was a young man, a gardener, according to this theory. And he tried to tell them that they were at the wrong tomb. And, you know, he was standing in front of the tomb where Jesus was at, according to this theory. And he said to the women, "Hey, hey, he's not there. He's over here." But the women got frightened and ran away and said that Jesus rose from the dead. So again, you know, another one that's out there. Here's one that was really made popular a couple years ago, the hallucination theory. And it basically said that all of Christ's post-resurrection appearances were mere illusions in the minds of those that saw him. Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, it said that after he had rose from the dead, that there were over 500 people that saw him at the same time. So you're trying to tell me that it's possible for over 500 people to have the same hallucination at the same time? All you got to do is go back and study the nature of hallucinations, and you see that hallucinations are highly individual. They're not collective. They're not, hallucinations are not in a group. They are individualistic. So it's very unlikely that 500 people would have the same hallucination at the same time. Don't work. So as we think about this idea, and I like what Hank Hanegraaff says, because we're going to look at, and I'm going to be very quick with this, proofs of the resurrection. Proofs of the resurrection. Now, I don't necessarily agree with everything Hank Hanegraaff says, but I think he gets it on the nail right here when he talks about feet, F-E-A-T. And so I wanted to give you guys something that you would remember. And so these are convincing proofs. Look at Acts chapter 1 real quick. Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And in verse 1, Luke, who was the writer who wrote the Gospel of Luke, he said, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus." So the former treatise is the book of Luke. And so he said, "I'm writing another book, and O Theophilus." And people, you know, don't necessarily know who Theophilus was, but the word Theophilus actually means lover of God. So this individual must have been a lover of God. O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up, after through which the Holy Spirit was given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Now look at this, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, or that was his death, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So it says that he showed himself by what? Many infallible proofs. You know what the word infallible means? Undeniable. Undeniable proofs that he was alive. And so as you come here today on Easter Sunday, you know, it would be a shame if you walked out of here not believing that Jesus literally rose from the dead. Because again, this is, and you know, it's very, you know, how many people, I mean, just think about, and we may hear about people being raised from the dead in some, you know, third world situations, but for the most part, you don't hear about people being raised from the dead. And here's a man that claimed to be God who rose from the dead. Now, either you're going to believe that or you're not going to believe it. And if you believe it, you got to have the faith to accept it and believe it, but then it's good to know that we not only have faith, but you know what? We have proof. we have proof. And so this morning, I want you to leave with proof that Jesus rose from the dead. So the first thing we see is his fatal torment, according to Hank Hanegraaff, his fatal torment. And so this is the real news. You know, well, I'm not giving you any fake news now. Now, the other thing, let me say this, that where do we get our account of Jesus' life, death, resurrection? In the Gospels. In the Gospels are what? Historical records. Yeah, it's the Word of God. Yeah, it's a spiritual book, but it's also a historical record. And so the first thing that we see in this real news, I'm not giving you the fake news, but real news, is that he was fatally tormented, that he suffered in Gethsemane. And we looked at this on Thursday night, that when Jesus got down and he began to pray, that the going to the cross was so intense that blood vessels in his body broke, and instead of dripping sweat, that he began to drip blood because he realized the weight of what he was getting ready to go through. And then we see that he was beat and spit on. And they whipped him. They took a whip and they literally ripped his back open until his bones and his organs were showing. And then they put a crown of thorns, and as the blood was beginning to dry up on his back, they put a robe on it, and the blood began to mat to his back. And then when he got to the, they ripped it off again and opened the blood back up again. They nailed him to a cross. And then they pierced him in his side to make sure that he was dead. And so there was a fatal torment. And so there can't be any swoon theory. Jesus, when he was on that cross, that he died for you and he died for me. I heard about a man whose son, and he loved his son, but his son had started going down the wrong road back in ancient times. And his son was convicted of a crime. And his son was condemned to be beaten with 40 lashes. And as they tied his son to the whipping post, and they were getting ready to take the whip and tear his son's back open, the man ran and put himself around his son, and he took the lashes for his son. And that's what Jesus did for you. That's what he did for me. That you should have been the one that got beaten. You should have been the one that got the lashes. But Jesus took the lashes for you. The fatal torment. That's proof that he died, that he was dead. And then secondly, we see the empty tomb. And we see that when the women came, they found it empty. When the disciples came, they found it empty. And it's still empty today. You know, it amazes me that the one thing that anybody has to do is approve the body. Bring the body. And when you do that, Christianity is over. You know, I was looking on the internet yesterday, and I just typed in some things, and you know, actually there's people that say, we found the body. We found the body. Now you think if they found that, you know, just 20 or 30 years ago, the high priest, Caiaphas, the one who was the high priest at the time when Jesus was crucified, they were digging over there in northern Israel, and they dug up an ossuary. And an ossuary is a little square box. And what they would do is after a person died, they would wait till their flesh decayed, and then they would take their bones and they would put their bones in a box. And so they recently found the bones of Caiaphas. So all these years later, over 2,000 years later, they find his bones. And I'm here to tell you that all that you need to do, as we sit here on this resurrection morning, thousands of churches across this country, probably hundreds of thousands of churches across the world that are worshiping a risen Savior, all you got to do is show us a body in each one of us.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Fake News. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Fake News, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Fake News. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Fake News. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. As we conclude today's broadcast, let me remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.